quite a week this past week. For those of you that are visiting, one of our oldest sisters in the Lord went to be with the Lord last Monday. And now she has been made perfect, according to the book of Hebrews. She has become like those whose the spirits of men and women made perfect in heaven. And that's a bit of the theme of what I want to share very briefly tonight. This will not be a traditional sermon. I'm not even doing a PowerPoint. But since I'm dressed like Father Christmas, I can do what I want on Christmas Eve. And I look like a little bit like him too. Anyway, I put a lot of thought into what I want to share and a lot of prayer, and it'll be brief. It starts with this thought. If you want to build a cathedral, you need a blueprint. And if you need a blueprint, you need an architect. One of the greatest cathedrals in the world is St. Paul's Cathedral in England. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of it and I read about it. I think you've probably been near it and seen it. It goes back a long way. It was started by a King Ethelbert. Why does no one name their sons Ethelbert anymore? It's such a wonderful name. King Ethelbert, back in 660 AD. Vikings came along and ruined it. It wasn't really St. Paul's Cathedral back then. It was the first Christian cathedral in England. Started on the grounds of an old Druid area. It got torn down by the Vikings, rebuilt, burned down by the Great Fire of London, up and down many, many times, ruined, re-ruined, re-ruined, and then finally, the king hired the amazingly talented British architect, Sir Christopher Wren, who designed the thing we now know as St. Paul's Cathedral. And it has lasted. It has lasted all these years. It lasted through the Nazi Blitz. In fact, they took great pains to protect it, and that cathedral became a symbol of God's care for the British in many different ways. In fact, a Nazi bomb even lodged in the roof of the thing, and they very carefully took it down. And St. Paul's Cathedral was one of the structures that never got destroyed. And you are a cathedral. At least you are meant to be one. Why did God send his son? God has a vision. In fact, I would suggest that every architect, even if they don't have a relationship with God, every architect, everybody that creates something and who has a vision of what that thing should be, in a very simple human way, we are all acting like God. We are acting out the fact that we're made in God's image because God himself has a vision for what he wants for us. And sometimes Christianity can be known mostly as a message of forgiveness of sins and getting to go to heaven when you die. And I in no way mean to diminish that. But you know, God has a vision for people, and Jesus coming was the implementation. Jesus coming was how God was going to accomplish that vision. And I know that because all the way back at the beginning of time, at the creation of the human race by God, God said this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea." Notice he said them as far as man, so we're speaking male and female. "Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle. Let them rule over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is what human beings are supposed to be. This is what you are supposed to be. I'm going to go ahead and use the word you. I was warned once years ago never to say you because it sounds like I have a big fat index finger pointing at you. You know, but I'm going to do it anyway. I won't point at you because you're being attentive. I don't have to. But you know what I mean by you. I include me. I include everybody. Scripture says that we were made to be in the image of God. We are the cathedrals. People go and see St. Paul's, and it's an amazing place to go to, or Winchester Cathedral. We're the cathedrals that God meant to rule this earth. However, we're ruined cathedrals. That's a phrase invented by a brother in the Lord named Francis Schaeffer, an evangelist in Switzerland for many years. He's been with the Lord for some time. He compares us to ruined cathedrals. And if you've lived anywhere near into adulthood, you know the amount of damage that life inflicts on us and how much damage we do to ourselves. We're all born with a sin nature now because of the foolishness and rebelliousness of Adam, the original man. And there is something bad inside us that inflicts injury on ourselves and also injures other people. We're not the people we're supposed to be. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Part of it means to think. Part of it means to choose, reflect, remember, relate to people, to reason. These are all natural qualities that reflect out of God. But the Bible also talks about things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, temperance, self-control, hope, peace, love, joy. Those are also the image of God. And how many of us lack those qualities? We know we should have them. We know we should be good. We know we should control ourselves. We know that we should love one another the same way we love ourselves. We know these things. But we're damaged cathedrals. Why did God send Christ? God had a vision. God's the architect of the human race. God's your architect. The Bible says in the Psalms that you were woven in the womb by God. Humanly through your mother and father, but by God. And God knows exactly who you're supposed to be. God knows what talents you're supposed to have. God knows what your temperament and personality should work right, and how it should work. God also knows the things that stand in the way. He also knows the things that have damaged you. He knows those experiences that have held you back from being the person, not that you want to be. That's the secular world's little song. You know, the secular world says, be yourself, and you go, fine, what is that? Who is that? I don't know what that is. If I'm myself, that means, does that mean I should be angry all the time? Does that mean that what am I? What is that supposed to be? Scripture says God is the pattern. God is the architect. It's amazing. He's both the architect and he's the blueprint simultaneously. And we're supposed to be like him. We don't get lost in him. In fact, a certain unnamed British writer that I will not go into, once said that the more we become like God, the more we become like our true selves. The more we become like God, we become more like our real selves. That's why Jesus was sent. God became man so that you could become like God. Jesus proves that it's possible to live the God kind of life in this kind of body. You don't need to go to heaven to be all that you are meant to be. You don't need to go to heaven to experience God's kind of life. God wants you to experience that life now. As he said, we're made in his image. We are cathedrals. He wants to rebuild us. That's why Jesus came. He came as a man so that as humans, male and female, we can be rebuilt into his image. Not to lose our identities, but to find our real identities and be able to strip off all the things that harm us and do harm to other people. Here's another reason why God sent Christ. Not only because he has a vision of who you're supposed to be, rooted all the way back in Genesis, but also because he has a vision of all you can be, and all you could be, and all the blessings that he'd like to give you. And I find this from Deuteronomy 5. Way back in Deuteronomy, this is God speaking in Deuteronomy 5. The Lord, or rather Moses quoting the Lord, and the Lord says, oh, that the Israelites had such a heart in them that they would fear me, meaning reverence me, love me, worship me, Follow me. It's a big word. Doesn't mean to be terrified of like you would be of a monster, but more the idea of reverence, love, worship, respect, following, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Now, that would be a good sentence if the period stopped right there, but it goes on to say the following. God says, so that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Oh, may they have such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it would be well with them and with their sons forever. So not only was Jesus sent into the world in order to reconstruct us into God's image so that we could be the people we're supposed to become, God also wants to bless. God does not like cursing. God does punish. The Bible is clear. God disciplines rebellion. God punishes sin because he has to. But there's other large portions of the Bible where God is very, very clear. He says, I do not enjoy doing that. Read through the 18th chapter of Ezekiel sometime. The first half of that chapter, God is saying, I deal with people as individuals. The goodness of the parent does not accrue to the child. The badness of the parent does not accrue to the child. God deals with each person individually. And then in the second half of the chapter, God says several different times, I do not take any pleasure in punishing the wicked. Well, what does that mean? That's a negative way of saying it. He says, I don't like doing it. And here you have this verse where he says, I wish. God is actually lamenting in this verse. It's a lament. How I wish that my people had such a heart in them that they would follow me and love me so that I could bless them beyond their imaginations. You see how God connects it? Obedience is not like, just do it because I say so. You're crying, I'll give you something to cry about. You know, that's, God doesn't talk like that. Instead, he says, I wish they would just obey me. I wish they had a heart that wanted to obey me, because then I could heap even greater blessings upon them. So why did God send Christ? Why did God send the Son of God? He's going to deal with the problem. What's the problem in that verse? Is the real problem that the people don't keep the commandments of God? No, it's because they don't fear, they don't worship him. Well, is that the real problem? Well, no, because it says the problem is they've got a heart that doesn't want to. How do you solve that? You send your son into the world. And that son comes and he's born on Christmas Day as a man, not an angel, not a heavenly vision, exactly like you, human being. And he lives 33 years, subjected to all the temptations that you are subjected to and yet never falling to any of them. And then what does he do on Good Friday? He dies to bear the brunt of your punishment for your sins. We celebrate that and remember that around April and May every year, right? But then what happens after that? What happens after that is that when you go to God and say, please take my guilt away because I trust in Christ, I claim Christ as my Savior, take my guilt away. Yes, you get to go to heaven. Yes, you get to have eternal life. That's exactly where Mary Jean went. But what else do you get? You get a new heart. You get a new life. You get changed, transformed on the inside. Yes, you're forgiven. Yes, Christianity is about going to heaven. But if that's all we tell you, we have not preached Christianity and the gospel to you properly. Because part of the gospel is to become completely new kind of people. And God wants us to become completely new kind of people so that he can bless you. Because God is a God of blessing. Now you may say to yourself, who is this preaching to me? This sounds like one of these positive prosperity people. Well, okay. I admit it. I've been secretly a prosperity gospel preacher all this time. No one can tell. But there is a kind of prosperity the Bible promises. And it's a prosperity of soul. A rich heart and spirit energized by the Spirit of God, where God reconstructs you so that you are no longer crippled by the things that happened to you when you were a kid. so that you are no longer one of the walking wounded so much. Jacob went his whole life limping along, but still in all, he was blessed, and he got a new name out of it. We may limp, but you do not have to go through life in a state of depression. You do not have to go through life crippled by your sins, unable to control yourself. You do not have to go through life unable to love. You do not have to go through life unable to be loved. You do not have to go through life haunted by those things that you either had done to you or maybe that you have done. Because God is your creator, he sent your redeemer in order to transform you into a new kind of person. And that's what I mean by vision. God has a vision for us of the men and women that we can be, of who we could be. Now, it may be really different from what you think of yourself. I don't know all of you very well, and so you may have your own vision for yourself. I say with a big smile on my face, just give it up. You know, you may say, I should be this kind of person. I want this kind of career. Here's the kind of person. I have to have a hot temper because, you know, my mom was this way and my dad was this way and I have red hair, you know, and all these things that we say. Or other Christians say, I have an addiction problem. Or another Christian will say, I have a real problem controlling my thought life. Women as well as men. Okay. That's all real. Me too. I deal with all the same kind of temptations anybody does. But God has a vision. God is the architect. God designed us to be a certain kind of person. And when we get together and remember Christmas every year, we are remembering that the Son of God came into the world to look and act and be just like you, minus the sin nature. It can be done. It has been done. Jesus is still as much a human being today as he was 2,000 years ago. There is a human being seated by the right hand of God Almighty. A human being is praying for you. The Messiah is a human being exactly like you, except for the sin nature. And so by his death, he took away the obstacles between you and God, and there is nothing holding you back from becoming the transformed person that God always intended and intends for you to be. I'll say that again. Nothing stands between you and the possibilities that God has for you in his mind. I have no idea why the Lord laid this on me. All three of the messages I've done in this 3-day period have been kind of different, even though they're all Christmas themed. On Friday, we eulogized your mother, and I think the Lord blessed the service. On Sunday, yesterday, we talked about the joy candle, and tonight I'm talking about a transformed you. I'm not trying to get us to be all self-centered, but we should say, thank you, God. I don't have to be the person Satan had in mind for me to be. I don't have to be a glum or angry or lustful or greedy person, no matter how I was raised. And I guess I'll end with this thought. I feel very strongly about this, and the reason I feel strongly about this is because I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents were not godly people. I'm trying to think of a respectful way to say it. They were not godly people. They were not even good parents. And when I became a Christian at 14 years of age, I had plenty of knots tied into the rope of my head that I wasn't even really aware of. But I want to give you testimonial that the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful knot untier if you're willing to keep up the process and submit to it and participate in it, and keep pressing on with it, and not give up, and not back off, and just give yourself to God and say, God, whatever it is, whatever kind of woman or man I'm supposed to be, I know you know who that's supposed to be. I may not even have a clue the kind of person I'm supposed to be. But you, God does. You do, God. And Jesus came into the world to bring that into effect. You do not have to be bound by the kinks that your own sin nature and this bad world have thrown into you. Can I get an amen to that, to people who agree with that? That is good news to people. Part of our good news in witnessing is, yes, to go to heaven when you die, but to have heaven come into you right now. To have the powers of heaven come inside you right now. That is God's will. That's what he wants. And that's why the Son of God came into the world, to make that possible, so that we don't have to just bumble and stumble along half crippled psychologically and socially, but that we can shine, like the scripture says, we can shine like stars in a dark sky. And people will say, how is it possible? And we say, Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks for being forgiven. All other blessings flow from that. We give thanks for where we stand in you. That is our assurance. But we thank you, God, that you know the kind of people we're supposed to be. You know who we're supposed to be. You know our subconscious. You know all the hidden hang-ups and weird ideas that have been buried down into the depths of our minds and hearts. That even now, Lord, you see that they steer us. Oh, Lord, save us from our hidden sins, hidden even from us. Because, Lord, we know the heart is very wicked and deceitful. And the first person our hearts deceive is us. But you know us, and you know who we should be. Lord, help us to cooperate with the process. Lord Jesus, be our guide while life shall last. Keep us on this path, and may the light of your presence just keep growing stronger all the way till as if it's the perfect day, midday. And then through us, let other people see what you're doing. Not that we're so fabulous, but that you are fabulous in us, and you have not left us where we were. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.